Commence primary ignition.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another X-Wing podcast. I am your host, Pete Lambro, joined this week and every week by Chris Daniel. Chris, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. I got dark iron on my back earlier, and I am feeling fantastic.
Dark iron, like from World of Warcraft, like dark iron dwarves?
No, but that sounds very cool. It's actually a percussion.
They are cool, Chris. You would fucking love the dark iron dwarves in World of Warcraft. I'll tell you this right now. They're very metal.
I'm cool with dwarves.
Yeah.
I'm pro dwarf.
Pro dwarf. Good. It's good to hear. What is this? A massage gun? You got shot?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's really good. It looks like something inappropriate, but it's like
sounds like snake oil.
And you put something at the end and you just like put it on like your sore spots. And it helped my lower back a lot. I'm having a little lower back.
Yeah. Stuff. See, I don't have sore spots because I'm young.
Young, dumb, and full of fun.
I've got the vigor of youth on my side. Also joining us this week, Andrew Lewinsky. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Pete?
I'm fantastic. Sam Page is off on assignment with Intrepid Junior Reporter, his baby. Andrew, we're gonna get to your thing in a minute, and this time we're making you stick around for the whole podcast. You can't
be here.
That's right. Goddamn. But we're gonna start this podcast like we start every podcast with our Star Wars question of the week, and this week it's my turn, Chris. I got one. This is inspired by my replaying of Knights of the Old Republic on the Nintendo Switch. You guys are familiar with this video game?
I know the video game. I've never played it, though, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, you never played it either, Andrew?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so spoilers for minor, back-of-the-box spoilers for Knights of the Republic. Your character eventually gets to be a Jedi. You don't start as a Jedi. You become a Jedi, and it's a role-playing game. It's an RPG, so it's like a prestige class. So, like, you start out as one. You could pick to be, like, a scoundrel, a soldier, or a scout. And it just depends on, like, you know, how combat focused you are or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when the story progresses and they're like, oh, the Force is strong with you, we're going to make you a Jedi. Right. You get to pick a Jedi class. Right. So I want to know what Jedi class you would pick to be. There are three options. Are you ready?
Sitting down.
Is the Jedi Guardian, who is like, they are the masters of martial prowess. They are really focused on lightsaber combat. And in the game, they get the Force jump ability. So when they initiate combat, they just rocket forward. They just leap into the enemies, like into the fray. Then there's the Jedi Consular, who is very Force focused. So in the game, this ends up being like you get more Force points to spend on abilities. You get more Force powers and your forciness is stronger. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, there is the Jedi Sentinel, which is kind of a mix of the two. It's like a little bit melee, a little bit Force focused, right? It's like in the middle. And the class you pick, Chris, impacts the color of your lightsaber, but in the game, you can change it later.
Oh,
so who do you think you're going to pick?
I'm a guardian, man. I want to jump like those.
You want to jump in there? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, like those lantern flies we're trying to kill. I'm like jumping, man.
Chris jumps into a swarm of lantern flies and just sabers them all to the ground.
I just out jump them. That's how I roll, guys. Jump around, jump up, and get down.
Amen. Andrew, what are you thinking?
I'll be the rogue. I mean, what was the last one? I just heard warrior, mage, and rogue, and that's all. I was like, okay, I'll go with the third one.
Jedi Sentinel.
A Sentinel. Yeah, I'll probably go with that one. A little bit of both.
Interestingly, the playthrough I'm playing, I am planning to pick the third one, the Consular.
Well, hold on a second. Let's make up a rogue. What would rogue be, Pete? What if we made up another class, Jedi Rogue, what would it be?
I guarantee this
someone
one
who
I
steals this, force, maybe.
I think it's a dark side power to drain life. You get different if you go. You can go light side or dark side in this, Chris. You'd appreciate
that's
it.
That's true. Oh, dark side then drain life. Rogue. That's right. Fourth class.
Fourth class. Class. I've never finished the dark side story because I always feel really bad being evil. Mm-hmm. But I'm finally doing
it. You're a good guy.
Not anymore. No, I'm evil now. Evil Pete.
Nope. You're a good guy.
And I. It's really funny though, because this is like a little bit of an older game. So like the quote unquote the choices you make are like they're hilariously like black and white. It's like, do you kick the puppy or do you feed the puppy? it's like oh this guy's getting harangued by like bounty hunter debt collectors, right? And it's like, well, do you fight them off and then give the guy 100 credits to pay off his debt, or do you like kill the bounty hunters and then threaten to kill the guy too? And it's like there's no middle ground. It's like those are your options.
Kill or kill. Kill more, kill less.
Murder. Anyway. Yeah, good video game. So the consular starts with that. I'm being evil guy, so I'm gonna have to switch to a red lightsaber, but I'm gonna have to start with a green lightsaber when I get there. It's really very exciting.
I like because of the freaking Ahsoka series, I wanna buy like a green lightsaber now. I wanna buy an orange one. Ugh.
What let me ask you, what you're a cosplay guy. We've talked about this before. What brand of lightsaber is your preferred lightsaber brand for something like a cosplay?
Well, that's a good question, Pete. What I like to do is I like to use the Ultra Sabers. Ultra Sabers?
Yeah, so you're an Ultra Saber guy. I've like Googled that before.
Yeah, so I did it like that quick because if you YouTube the videos, the guy is cool, but he gives a rundown of his sabers, but he literally has like a thick
accent. Oh, he's like a drawl.
Yeah,
real like, southern yeah, drawl.
Real neat. And if you take off this piece, and it's like, if it's so cool though. But yeah, my Ultra Saber guy.
Are any of the lightsabers you own like modeled after character sabers, or are they all just like generic looking
ones? They're kind of cool. I didn't go the super character route. My friend did. It has like a spiked one. I think it's one of your guys, actually, one of the Kotar ones. I think it's like it's like a really Malak maybe or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Darth Malak is the bad guy in Knights of the Republic 1, the game I'm playing.
Yeah, yeah. My friend has that saber. I have one that it's just kind of cool. Nothing crazy with the handle, but it's kind of cool. And then like it has, I think, like more like four openings where the light comes through mm-hmm. on the handle. And then me and my friend went in and we did one of those grab bag ones where you get two lightsabers for the price of one. So we both got blue lightsabers, but I want a green one, but they're expensive. We get the really good ones where it makes the noise and you can take a hit and it moves with the noise. So those are like $200 plus at least.
My only nice lightsaber is my Disney World Galaxy's Edge lightsaber.
That's the one you make?
I made it. And I went, you pick like a theming for it, and then they give you a bunch of different parts in that theming. So I went with they call it the elemental nature like style. So it's like, it's not like a shiny silver, but it's like a graphite silver, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe like a pewter color. And it has like a leather wrapped hilt. It's nice. Yeah. And I have a green crystal in it, but you can get, the crystals are like NFC chips, right? Mm-hmm. So you can get different color crystals and slot it in, and it'll just change the saber to that color.
Is there a rule in Star Wars world of what color? Like, why do all the Siths have red lightsabers? Is there like some actual lore behind that?
Yes, that's new canon, right? So, okay. Back in the day, back in the old day, all the natural lightsaber crystals were blue, right? And then Luke Skywalker's green one was like a synthetic crystal. And I actually don't remember the old lore for the red. But also back in the day, lightsaber crystals were not all kyber crystals. Kyber crystals was like one choice of lightsaber crystal, but like a ton of different stuff could be a lightsaber crystal, including like a Krayt Dragon pearl, right? Like there's mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff, right? Modern day, all lightsaber crystals are kyber crystals. They're all naturally occurring, and the red ones are because the kyber crystals are so imbued with the force, in order for a dark Jedi to use them, or when a dark Jedi uses them, they what they do is they bleed the crystal, like they imbue the dark side into the crystal, and that's what turns them red. And the lore behind Ahsoka's white sabers are that she took crystals from an Inquisitor's lightsaber and like purified them with the light side of the force. Now they're pure white. So she took previously bled dark side crystals and made them light side again.
That's a lot better answer than I was expecting. I was just like, expecting it to be like, oh, yeah, I like blue and the bad guy's like red.
Because I think the old lore was kind of that way.
Maybe.
So in like Knights of the Old Republic, like the color you have represents like the class of Jedi you are. Like the Guardians are blue and the Consulars are green and the Sentinels are yellow, right? And then even we see that a little bit in stuff like Clone Wars, like the Jedi Temple Guards all use yellow lightsabers.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of like representing their status in the Order. Even Clone Wars started doing the like pre, because like the new lore with the bleeding the crystal, that's a Disney era thing. They started doing that though before, so like in the Barriss Offee crime arc, where she like is a terrorist. When she is revealed to be dark-sided, her saber is red, right? So like, why did she change it, right? Like when she fights Anakin in like her dorm or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
He's, never mind. I won't say him.
Yeah. No, give us the crystal chat. What do you got?
It's more like, dude, they think she might be, what's this? You watched Ahsoka, right?
Yes.
Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. So they think Morok? The one that Ahsoka fights with the semi kind of Inquisitor.
Oh, yes. Everybody wants to know the identity. This is the hot speculation. Who is Marok?
Hot takes.
Yeah. What's your prediction? Marok.
I don't know. I don't think it's anybody, but I think,
You were so ready to give us a hot scoop and you're like, I don't know.
I don't personally, but I like the hot take that it might be who you just said, Barriss O'Keefe or whatever her name is. Because I think
Barriss Offee?
Yeah, because isn't Barriss the one that kind of played Ahsoka?
Yeah. She framed Ahsoka. And she ended up arrested. I don't know what her fate is because I don't read comic books.
But nobody knows, actually. That was like unfinished. So technically, she'll still be alive. Yeah, so they think it'll be really cool if that's her. And now they have like a little unfinished business. Ba-bom-bom.
Nobody's ever dead.
Yeah, first of all, somehow Palpatine returned. Right. But the other thing is, like, I hope they don't do that for a very specific reason. And it's, okay, coming into Ahsoka is a lot for someone who doesn't watch the cartoons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, like a friend of mine, my friend Anthony, right, was just texting. And he was like, am I supposed to know who all these people are? And I'm like, yeah, this is basically season 5 of Rebels. He's like, all right, I'll go back and watch that, right? But not everybody is my buddy who's going to go back and watch everything, right? Like, it's a pretty big ask for your average, like, Disney Plus Mando fan to be like, yes, I will go watch 4 seasons of a cartoon, right? To catch up for the new premiere live action Star Wars show. Like, that's a pretty big ask. And so they're already throwing a lot of people. I feel like introducing bringing back a Clone Wars only character would be an even bigger stretch for that kind of viewer versus, cause like, you know, if going into Ahsoka, you know, if you're not going to watch Rebels, maybe you're going to go on YouTube and watch here's everything you need to hear. Entertainment Weekly, everything you need to know before watching Ahsoka. They're like, we'll catch you up on who everybody is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you watch like a 15-minute YouTube or something like that. Barriss is not going to be in that video, right? So like even people who are like who try to like do that little bit of legwork to be caught up, they're going to be totally blindsided by like, who the hell is Barriss Offee? Who cares, right? But I do like it sort of because it's someone important from Ahsoka the character's past, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I like it. Throw her in there. I don't care. People should watch it. What are you going to say, Drew?
Oh, I got nothing.
Fantastic.
I thought I just cut him off, and he's like, nah.
No opinions.
No, I'm kind of just going into Ahsoka, just watching it as is. I mean, like, I didn't really watch the Clone Wars. I would say that I probably cliff noted the Rebels. Like, I think I, like, didn't watch the last season, because when I, like, ended up binging it, it was, like, still, like, week to week, and I never finally watched that last season, but I was kind of like, all right, I'm just going to, like, find out what happened. So, like, I'm just kind of going into Ahsoka, just, like, I know who the characters are and everything. It's just kind of like, eh, we'll see what happens.
Weirdly, to me, like, one of the best middle grounds for, like, if you didn't want to watch all of Rebels, on Disney Plus, they have these things, they were promotional material at the time for Rebels before it came out, where they're like, meet the characters, right? They're like these like little 5-minute vignettes. They're like, you know, Chopper's a silly guy, and Hera's a cool pilot, and Kanan's a former Jedi, right? It just kind of like introduces, it's like a little 5-minute-er. There's like 4 or 5 of them, introduces the Rebels crew, right? That's it. Then I would say watch that, and then watch like the last 10 episodes of season 4, and you're good, right? Most of the stuff that really matters to the Ahsoka show seems to happen then, because like it basically is like Thrawn is a bad guy, an Imperial bad guy. Thrawn is taking over Ezra's home planet of Lothal. They rescue Lothal. That's it. Like that's, and then when he rescues him, he, you know, Thrawn gets shunted to another galaxy or whatever, or to the other side of the galaxy. What are they saying in the Ahsoka show? Is it another galaxy or another side of the galaxy? Something like that, right?
Yeah, another galaxy or something.
Just far away.
He's like, in a different galaxy.
He's off in outer space all the way. He's all the way in outer space, right?
He's further than Nova.
Speaking of Nova, no, we're looking forward. Nova is this weekend, everybody, but we're looking even forward. What's past Nova? PAX Unplugged. And as we've mentioned on this show before, Andrew Lewinsky is the tournament organizer, the TO of PAX Unplugged. And you have some exciting, but subject to change, information to share with the listeners.
Okay, so I have the player packet ready. We have it submitted for approval. So we're recording this the day before we have a meeting with AMG. So I can't anticipate like them saying, no, you can't do the standard structures that you have in place for everything. So, like I said, something could be subject to change. But as far as we're concerned,
a big disclaimer from Freeman Law, our attorney, subject to change.
Subject to change, but it will all be in the player docket that you know we have. So, but this is what we have lined up first. So we're gonna have 3 days of events through the entire weekend. On Friday, we have scheduled a extended tournament. We thought we would switch it up a little bit. I know some people might want to try to practice or anything their list or anything, but we also were like, you know, extended doesn't ever really get any kind of love. So like, we're going to have an extended tournament. It's basically just going to be a 1-day shy. You know, rounds will be based on how many people are registered for it, everything like that. Now,
can I ask a clarifying question about the extended tournament? Is it the Cowards extended or real extended?
It is real extended. Everything is legal. No ban list. Oh, no anything.
Yes.
Do what you want, man.
Yes.
Bring the most broken combos. I hate the
Cowards extended. Give me sense. Bye, exactly. Marathi. Fuck your dial. Secrecy. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. So
Hera Ghost. I love it.
Chaos.
You can bring anything you want. And this is something that we're working on. Prize support for this, we're working on a couple stores to possibly sponsor these side tournaments, as I know some stores haven't gotten their store championship yet. So we were hoping that maybe they could sponsor a one of these tournaments as maybe their store championship that is just being held at PAX. So cool. Stay tuned with that. We will have more information as soon as we have all that confirmed. We don't want to say that it's going to be a store championship that's at PAX, but that's what we're shooting for, and hopefully it does end up that way. So we're going to skip over the World Qualifier real fast, and we'll go into something else. So on Sunday, it is going to be the cut for the World Qualifier that we are having, but if you don't make the World Qualifier and you still want to play X-Wing, we're going to be hosting a Fangs Out tournament, which will be standard. But if you're not familiar with Fangs Out, it is shortened rounds. It's only 60-minute rounds as opposed to the hour and 15. And also with Fangs Out, you only have 2 minutes to set dials. So as soon as both players are, say, okay, we're in the planning phase, a timer will start. You have 2 minutes to set dials, and then you will go from there. If you don't have a dial set, I believe you're locked into two white straight.
Yep.
So the reason for that being is that we also have a shortened day on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be out of the con by like 6. So we didn't want to do anything. So we're like, okay, let's try the Fangs Out, method.
I love the idea of a Fangs Out tournament.
Yeah, and that format has been here available for a while, and no one's used it. So I think you're like the first.
Well, I feel like it's pretty tough to implement with a planning phase timer.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we should have timers
clocks to all the tables, right?
Right. We should have clocks at every table. If not, we'll definitely make sure that we have some kind of way that you can time 2 minutes. Everybody's got
break your cell phone out. Yeah.
You guys don't have cell phones? Anyway. No, but we'll definitely figure that out. That everyone will have a way that they can time the 2 minutes. So it'll be like once both players agree, you're in the planning phase. The clock will start as soon as it ends. Anything that's not locked in, obviously you can, end that 2 minutes early. But with the 60-minute, rounds, I'm excited to see how that actually goes down. I've never experienced anything like that, and I think it'll be fun. Again, we are working with a store to see if they will host that as their store championship there to, get that prize support out there. And, we all know it's in those store championship kits. So stay tuned for that. Again, once we have all that announced, it'll be in the player docket that we have for everyone, coming out. So with that being said, we will be hosting the World's Qualifier on Saturday. So Swiss will be Saturday and the cut will be Sunday. Now, we had a little bit of back and forth with this, and I know Gen Con and the way Nova's going down, they did 5 rounds of Swiss during the Swiss day, and then there was 2 rounds of Swiss, I believe, on the cut day, and then it cut to a top 4 on both.
Yes.
We had a lot of back and forth, and because there is a shortened day on Sunday, and we have to kind of get out of there at a certain time, we've opted to kind of go back to some of the older X-Wing guys will remember this of doing 6 rounds of Swiss on Saturday. I mean, I know for the most part, people have kind of like got comfortable with 5 and everything like that.
Bring it back.
Right. So, I remember the last PAX that was the system open was 6 rounds on Saturday. So, we will be, and again, this could be subject to change, but as of right now, this is what we're planning on doing. So 6 rounds of Swiss on Saturday, and then on Sunday, we are going to be cutting to a top 8. And we did a lot of math and everything that went with this, and with the projected number of people that we're expecting to be there, we really kind of like figured out that if we do a cut to top 8 and 6 rounds of Swiss, it's going to be very hard for people to, intentional draw into that top 8. And that was a big thing that we kind of really considered with all of this, that we figured if we do 6 rounds of Swiss into the top 8, it's a lot better than having the N1s or that format, the graduated cut. Because that can get kind of sloppy. And then, if you do draw and anything like that, then it's basically a loss for both players. So like I said, we did do a lot of math into this and trying to make sure that it was as fair as possible for everyone. And that's why we decided to do the 6 rounds. So then obviously, we'll cut to a top eight. It'll be single elimination on Sunday, going side by side with the Fang Zhao tournament. And I'm sure everyone's probably seen the World's Qualifier prize support and everything like that. You know, the first place comes with the round trip, all expense paid. Well, not, I shouldn't say all expense, but hotel and
some flight expense paid.
Some expense paid to Adepticon for the World's tournament and everything. And then I believe top four gets invites, and then there's all those acrylic range rulers and templates to be fighting for. Yes, so
Brett is salivating over those lightsabers. He wants them.
And so here, I think, is the biggest announcement that we are, like I said, I would say subject to change, but we are fairly confident that this is the case, that the registration fee for the World's Qualifier at PAX will be included with your badge. So if you buy a badge, two PAX, you do not have to pay a registration fee for the World's Qualifier, for any tournament, I should say, actually, for the entire weekend. We will have registration links that you can sign up for. Everything will be sponsored. I believe Luminous Gaming will be doing a lot of the legwork for us, so I would like to plug them. I know they are very big in the Legion community. I've been talking to them, and you know, we are confident that, like, you know, we understand that the badge price for PAX is, you know, large. I believe it's like $80 for the 3-day or something. We opted that, you know, the World's Qualifier will be free as long as everything is approved, and you know, you register on the links that we will provide, and we will be sending out emails at a closer date of how to register to the tournament software that we will be using. We haven't set on that yet, but if you know, like I said, if you get your badge, you can play in any tournament you want as far as X-Wing is concerned. I believe even Legion, if you are a Legion player, can will be doing the same.
And I'm not a Legion player. I'm actually
not a Legion. Selling actually,
my Legion stuff.
Plug yourself. I will say, I think, because Luminous Gaming, I believe, is doing everything as far as Star Wars and even, I think, MCP, and I believe all of those events will be free throughout the weekend. So, there is going to be a Shatterpoint. I do not know the details on it yet, but there will be Shatterpoint tournament. I don't know if it's going to be Saturday, Sunday, Friday, but there will be a Shatterpoint tournament.
I'm signed up to play Shatterpoint at Nova, and I have to say, I think I hate the idea of a Shatterpoint tournament.
Why?
Because I don't want to play it competitively in any sense. I just want to play some Shatterpoint.
I don't think that everyone's going to be like kind of balls out on trying to kill. I think it's more like a, hey, let's ball play and let's see what happens.
Listen, I'm just saying the term tournament inspires people to try hard, and I'm not here for that.
That's fair.
That's huge though, to have it like no fee for the X-Wing. I'm wondering if maybe there's like a little, maybe we could donate somewhere or something, because that's exceptionally nice of you and the store to do that.
Right. So I think one of the big things that we're trying to do is have everything. So years past, we would always do, because it wasn't provided by AMG or anything like that, we would always have to do kind of like donations from the community and everything like that. So because we're doing a World's Qualifier and everything, we do have a lot of donations coming in from around the areas, but it is all going to be AMG, old FFG, actual support that is being provided to us. We will have more information for that past Nova, because I believe I'm meeting with some of those guys down there to, you know, they're going to be handing off a bunch of stuff to me that we will be providing. But I know we're trying to get everything to be basically AMG official for these tournaments. I mean, like I said, it's something that we could do for the community. So, I mean, like we said, we know there's a big badge price for PAX Unplugged, and it's probably one of the best cons, you know, out there. I mean, there's so much to do. Like, I mean, like, I don't want to, like,
favorite.
Yeah. Like, so even if you're not, like, you know, you scrub out of the tournament and you just want to go, there's so much to do. There's so much, you know, there's so many vendors, there's so many tournaments going on. It's really one of the best cons.
I'm frankly, I've talked about this before. I'm not doing X-Wing this year at PAX. I'm going to play just board games in the free play area with my wife. And I'm really excited for that. Cause that's what I used to do at PAX before I started playing X-Wing. And that's like super exciting for me.
Yeah.
It's just a great venue. right next to Reading Terminal Market, which is great food. Get them donuts. Whew,
no, the wings. You guys got to get the wings. I'll talk about it the next one. I'll find out the exact name and tell you what wings to get. But it's next level, out of this world. And for anybody who hasn't bit the PAX, the few that haven't, it's on top of what these guys said. It's completely phenomenal in regards to board gaming. There's an entire section where you can play board games up to who knows until midnight. There's another midnight, section that has open to midnight. Yeah, another section that has like new board games
unreleased board games.
Unreleased board games, like starter board games. And then you have on top of that miniatures, war gaming. The sponsors that like the panels, the what do you call them? Like the booths
vendor booths.
Vendors, yes.
Vendor booths, yeah.
Games. It's tabletop
RPGs, like Dungeons and Dragons is huge there.
Yeah,
that's legit stuff. We don't talk about D&D around.
Well, it's like, you know, the Star Wars RPG, I believe, even at like certain places.
It's also loser behavior.
Yeah, sure. I've never played it.
No, you never played a Star Wars RPG?
I have not.
It was all right. I had a good time with it. The key is don't play Jedi.
We had talks of starting one once, and I said I would only do it if I could be a Jawa that just builds droids to do all my bidding.
You 100% can. I believe it's an engineer class that lets you build droids and leverage droids. Anyway, but before PAX happens, Nova's happening. Chris, you excited for Nova? You coming?
I'm pumped. I'm coming. I'm arriving Thursday. I'm going to play Friday and then hit the pool Saturday, or maybe play a little X-Wing and then hit the pool.
What?
I was going to go to...
What mystery illness will you be faking to get out of Nova?
There was a chance that I might not come if a friend of mine who was ill didn't get better, but he's better now. So
I'm in there
like swimwear. Heyo.
Oh, I'm gonna make that joke forever until you come to Worlds. So you make it to Adepticon. That's exciting, Andrew. You're coming. I know that I wouldn't have a hotel room if you were not there. What are you guys bringing?
I mean, I don't mind sharing my list because
I know you can be as specific or vague as you want, Chris, when I force you to divulge some information. But Andrew, what are you bringing?
All right, so I'm bringing the Four Fangs Bossk list just because
scum and villainy.
Like I have had a very busy summer, and like I've been like kind of like tracking all the discords, and everyone's like, oh, you got to bring Han and you got to bring Ox and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I'm just going to bring something that I know I have lots of practice with, and I'm going to enjoy myself, and I'm going to play it. So it's Fenrir with Joy Rekoff as Cad Solas and the Mandalorian Royal Guard, just because I wanted the I-4, even though I really like, what is the I-3 one? His name? Torfun, is that it?
Torfun, yeah. He's double tap.
I really like him, but I want to go with the three I-4s and then Bossk, just because I got 2 points left over, and it's funny throwing a dead man switch on him.
Yes,
charging him in.
No desire to drop Bossk in favor of Fenn.
I have like Fenn
promoting. You have what?
So I'm sorry. Fenn was the first piece. Fenn is in.
Okay.
Yeah. Fenn's always in, and then it's those other three. And
oh, Fenn. Fenn. Sorry. For some reason, I thought you had two of the Mandalorian Royal Guards.
No. I've got two of So just one of the Mandalorian Royal Guards. So it's Fenn, Joy, Cad, Royal Guard, and then Bossk.
Yeah, I think having
you're used to flying those fangs pretty nasty.
Right. So that was the thing. Is like, I mean, the last PAX that was a system open was I flew. It was Fenn and the three I-1s that had no mods or no equipment or whatever.
Skull Squadron or something like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like
Zealous Recruit.
Yeah. Right. So it's kind of like I have experience with it and I have practice with it, and it's kind of like, yeah, now I get I-4s and I can, I can put like stuff like Beskar on them, and it's just pretty cool. So it's like, I'm not saying it's a great list, but it's a list I know, and it's a list I'm going to have fun with.
That's the same.
Sometimes that is how you get a great list. truthfully.
That's the same train of thought I'm doing with First Order. I was almost, I've wanted to play with, like, because I have that amazing gauntlet, and I was like, oh, let me try to make some a gauntlet list, and then that just wasn't working. I was like, you know what? Fly what I know. So I'm flying, what am I flying? I'm flying Kylo Whisper, Wrath Whisper, Malorus. I'm flying Hask. I haven't flown Gideon Hask in the Zai
Shuttle. The Zai Shuttle?
In the Zai, I'll break it out. The Joaquin painted Zai Shuttle.
Chris, I thought you were trying to break the losing streak. What are you doing?
I know. But it, you know, I'm having fun with the list, man. So I was like, I'm going to go with that. And then Scorch in the bomber, because I like how my bombers are painted. This, it makes total sense.
Everything about this gives me anxiety, Chris. Wait. What?
We'll take your bets, guys. Over or under, two wins. Over or under for me.
For the over first under game. Two wins.
Yeah. Do I get over two wins?
Over two wins. You can't put it. Wow. I'm gonna say like two even.
Yeah, you hang on. You have to say it has to be like one and a half.
Yeah.
1.5 wins. How do you get a half? What the hell?
Well, because here's the thing. Because if saying if the line is two wins and you get two wins, you're neither over nor under. So you have to pick something that you can't actually get.
Oh, so then 2.5 then, like
two and a half.
Then
okay. I think you're getting three wins. I think you're clocking out three. I think you're going. I think you're going 3-1-1 and advancing to Sunday.
Wow, that's huge.
Can you advance to Sunday with that record?
Yes, they changed. There was an update. Nova update. 10 points advances you.
10 points.
10 points. 3-1-1s are going through. It's gonna be a tough road to make the top four from there. Arguably not possible, but. But you can do it.
So that's the thing. We should touch upon that super fast.
No, we should touch up on that.
Yeah. 3-1-1 gets you in, yeah. I think. 3 and anything better than that. But
realistically
speaking, if you want to make Sunday cut to the top four cut, then you most likely, unless there's some
magic. You gotta go 4-1 and then you gotta win.
You should try to go 4-1 at least.
Yeah.
There'll be 5-0s and 4-1s there that
right.
make cut if there's a bunch of draws. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I was doing that math the other day, which I'm sorry if I bored you guys with that, but I was like...
You did.
I basically, like, looked at it. I was just like, okay, you basically have to go 6-1 to make a top four cut with the expected amount of players.
Right.
We are talking
about 75 players this weekend.
Right, so between both days or each day?
Total.
Okay. Yeah, so I would say you know your safe bet is going 6-1. Now, with that being said, they did say they are passing down invites. So if you are something like 3-1-1, you can fight your way to be right at that top spot to maybe get a pass down an invite, even if you don't get top four. So it'll be an interesting little thing.
Right, I think the math would have to be so unbelievable. Like if somebody goes 5-0, and then if they lose the first two in the cut, and then you were something very unrealistic has to happen for you.
Right. Like, so I think the most important thing is don't intentional draw at all. Like unless you're like at that top. You're like both 6-0, which I don't even think that is.
If you're both 4-0, if you are 4-0 going against a 4-0 opponent day one and you draw, that puts you at 13 points instead of 15 points. So it's not that bad.
No, it's still pretty bad.
Really? You think so?
No. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I would say do not intentional draw if you absolutely can't. Like, I think if you really kind of need that, like, because we even did it with like intentional draws at that 4-0 spot, and it's like here's the thing that Gen Con this didn't happen, but in Nova it is. Your points carry over to the next day, so right. If
you're yeah, the some records, not the points, right?
No, I thought it was your points too.
No, your SOS and your mission points are carrying over at Nova.
Correct. Yes. So if you, you know, someone can sneak past you very easily if they're 4-1. Like, so if even if you're 4-0-1, someone that's 4-1 can easily sneak past you with two wins.
I'm not sure if the points carry over. I thought just the record.
No, I thought they did.
No, Gen Con they did not, but there was part of the it was part of the player packet for Nova that they will carry over. Like that part was like bolded.
Points and record? Okay.
Points and record and SOS are not getting reset.
Right. So my advice would be don't intentional draw. It's not I'm not saying that it won't look bad, but I'm saying
don't your intentional best, draw if you want to make top four.
If you want to make top four, do not intentional
draw. But if you want to go get some dinner, definitely intentional draw.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, like, if here's the thing. I think
if you just make the cut. You know.
I don't think it's possible that there could be 2-6-0s, but if there are 2-6-0s, then that might be the only safe bet of intentional drawing, is if you're in that last end. But like I said, I don't think that's mathematically possible.
Well, yeah, if you're 6-0, no, hang on. If you're 6-0 going into that second Swiss round, you could ID at that point, and it'd be fine.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but you'd be facing another 6-0.
Right, and I don't think that's possible with that amount of players.
Yep. Well, my plan is to have some fun and meet some people, and hopefully, service alert, hello? Again, call to action, bring me stickers, get some stickers from my water bottle. That's the other thing I hope. Ooh, and then, and that's it. That's what I want to do. And then, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Chris, we can hear you. Technical difficulties, folks.
I can't hear anyone. Let me type to you.
Hi, we can hear you.
No, we hear you. Typing.
You can hear me. I'm fresh. Okay.
Okay. Chris will be right back.
Hey, so...
Yeah, so anyway, so I says to him, I says, wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
Killed him. Hey...
Anyway, and then so I'm strangling the guy, right? And I'm punching him in the face, and he just won't stop trying to shave me. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah. Wait, what? What did I miss? I go up for 2 seconds.
All right. So anyway,
back to X-Wing.
I'm opening my. I was going to say a rated R joke, but okay.
I'm hoping to have a couple wins. I'm hoping to have a good time, meet some people, get some stickers for my water bottle. That's basically going to be my Nova. I'm going to play some Shatterpoint on Sunday. I'm going to have a good time with that. I finished painting my fellas for Shatterpoint.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I
should try to find some inappropriate stickers.
I will not put them on the water bottle. Pivoting time. I made a change to my Nova list. I'm switching from customized Tomax bruh to standard loadout Tomax bruh.
Wow, what is
do you know why, Tomax? Chris? To standard loadout.
Why don't you tell?
Well, because the new TIE Bomber expansion released, Christopher, and that expansion, we got points for it because it's a new release. So Tomax Bren in the TIE Bomber expansion. Standard loadout is at 3 points as well. And let me tell you what he's got. First of all, he actually has an ability now.
Pretty change. It's a great change.
He's still an I-5 TIE bomber. Okay. He has two recurring charges. And his ability says, after you perform a barrel roll action, you can spend two charges. If you do, gain a focus token. Okay. He, like all TIE bombers, has barrel roll into target lock. So he can roll, spend two charges, and then target lock and end up double modding. Chris, disgusting. What's he going to do with that target lock? I'll tell you. He's going to fire a plasma torpedo because he's got plasma torps on him. Isn't that hot stuff?
Yeah, I didn't even see that. Nice.
Yeah, and
True Grit.
Well, he's got True Grit, which is an upgrade. And it says, at the end of the activation phase, if you're not strained, you can gain a strain to remove one non-lock red or orange token. So he could... reload, and then if he's maintaining a lock from before, he could reload and then drop his disarm in exchange for strain, or he could get rid of his stress. And then lastly, he's got ion bombs, a good bomb, right?
And they got the nice curvature thing that they could do.
Yeah, he can nimble bomber it. The other thing I'm thinking about, though, I'm looking at this new death fire in here. Standard loadout Deathfire.
About that.
He he's a pretty, he's 3 points, Chris. Let me tell you what he gets. Are you ready? After you fully execute a speed 3-5 maneuver, if you have not dropped or launched a device this round, you may spend 2 charges to drop or launch a bomb using the 3 straight template.
So I went over this with Phil the Ferocious, because we were trying to figure it out.
Yep.
And we wanted to see how far you could actually launch this shit. And it was past, from the beginning, it was past the midway point of the map. It was further than that. That's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, because you can
do a 4 straight. You
can go 4 straight, yeah.
And here, then you launch at 3. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Currently, okay, now this was a forum ruling for old Deathfire, because Deathfire said you could drop or launch one device, right? Mm-hmm. When you died. There was a ruling said that if you couldn't normally launch it, you couldn't then launch it, right? You couldn't launch a proton bomb unless you had another means of launching, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if new Deathfire is subject to the same restriction. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to say launch if he couldn't launch the only thing that was like fixed to him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
He can only do his ability for the proton bombs he has, not the Connor nets. And he has Nimble Bomber as well. So what he could do is, you know, you could like turn out and then like do like a 3 turn and then do the Nimble Bomber drop and drop it 3 bank. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You could also 5K and then 3 straight or 3 bank drop. Right? Isn't that spicy, yeah. Chris? What do you think of that? He's got swift approach. During system phase, way after you drop or launch a device, you can perform a white barrel roll or boost action. That seems very FO bomber to me. And he's got Connor nets. And Connor
so you're saying you don't think you can launch the Connor net? You don't think
you cannot. You cannot launch Connor nets are a mine. And his ability specifically says you can spend 2 to drop or launch a bomb. So you can't launch the Connor nets, just the proton bombs. Still good, right? You can't do the ability, right?
That's a good catch. I got to remind Phil about that. You cheated. No, we finished our match, I think, and we were trying to we didn't get to play, but we were messing around with how far they could go. So I did the Connor net. I was like, launch a Connor net. And it was because that's straight. So it was so far, but you can't do that, everyone. It's illegal. Don't do it. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Breaking news.
Can we talk about, do you think plasma torps are the right call in this meta?
Yes. Option? Yeah, I think plasma torps are rad because the two boogeymen of the moment are the arcs, which have lots of shields, and they are the Han, who also has lots of shields, right? So, like, if you're me, right, and you are flying, I'm doing Empire, obviously, and I get it. I have Vader, target lock one of the arcs, and I have Tomax target lock the same arc. Right. Either if Vader doesn't strip away all 3 shields with his shot, right? Like just assuming Vader does the Vader thing of getting 3 hits. And then, you know, if they roll the evade, right, they're down to 1 shield. Tomax is going to come in and just strip that last shield and potentially do 2 or 3 damage on top of it. Right. So I really think that, that plasma torps are going to be rock solid into either Han the arcs, right? And if you think about if you're shooting standard loadout Oddball, who has a shield upgrade by default, you know that Vader is going to get 3 shields off, let's say, and then there's still that one there for Tomax to strip too, right? So it's just a lot of shields out there. So I do think it's a pretty solid choice.
Yeah.
Han is a pain in the butt.
Han is a pain in the butt. That's why I've heard that before. Everybody's saying
plasmas, maybe jams.
Plasmers.
Plasmers. Jam. Against imps, like that is scary, but getting that range 1, that way they can't use that crap. Also jam. Mm-hmm. And the arcs, I don't know, guys. The arcs are what? Just pray? What do you do?
For who?
Killing all those damn orcs.
I've heard some advice from the internet to say shoot Jag first, like try to kill Jag.
Are you shooting Padme?
Maybe
in the arc, not in the arc.
No, I know. But
if I'm not in Padme's arc, and if I have like two or three good shots on Padme, let's say, and I'm not in her arc, then I'm definitely gonna shoot at Padme, right? Because the problem is like Padme most of the time is going to have an evade, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, that's already pretty solid defense, right? And if she rolled up and was like, I am not taking great shots this round, or she didn't think she was taking great shots this round, she's like focus evaded, right? They only roll two dice, right? The N ones, and they don't have a lot of health, right? So if I can get the drop on Padme and turn off the ability by not being in the arc, then that is worth my time to shoot her. But it's not solid odds that I'm going to have two or three shots totally out of her arc, mm-hmm. you know? I also want to shoot Padme just because people have told me don't shoot Padme. And I want
that's where I'm at too. Cause I'm just like, I think I'm shooting Padme.
Love to shoot Padme. I'm always saying this. All right, I want to pivot again, Christopher.
If she's tokenless or naked,
Hell yeah. I want to talk about other points stuff. Breaking news, Chris. There it is. We got new points for the YT-2400 Light Forerunner. And they did a recent hot fix to this, a little recent adjustamento. Scum and Rebel points costs are the same again, right? When they had initially published it, one of the scum Lebo was a point extra. What'd you say? Mm-hmm.
They were screwing over Scum.
They were screwing over Scum again. Now they've taken Scum can no longer complain, which is the Scum Lebo player's worst nightmare.
Is back, everyone. Six points for Lebo. Lebo, my ego.
Yeah. So we have. Points. On the Rebel side, we have four new pilot cards because we have customized Lebo and customized Dash and standard loadout Dash and Lebo. I want to talk about the standard loadouts first because they're the same Scum and Rebels, right? So available to the Rebels and to the Scum at 6 points is Lebo I3. Great ability here. At the end of the engagement phase, you can spend a calculate token to acquire a lock on an enemy at enemy ship at range 2-3. Three dice primary now, down from four. Six hull, four shields. Same action bar as previously, I believe, right? Yeah. And then Lebo has the upgrades. Efficient processing, great upgrade name. Perform a calc, get an extra calc, so you get two calcs. Seeker missiles, which is a front arc locked special attack with four charges, range 2-3. Need a target lock. You can spend a charge during the modify attack dice step. You can spend two charges, and then you change one eyeball to a hit for each charge spent. You can spend two additional charges, rather. And then the new Outrider title, which is like a kind of combo of the old Outrider of the old model's gun and of Juke a little bit. So it's like while you perform a primary target attack at range 3, you roll an extra attack die. So you roll 4 dice at range 3. And while you perform an attack that is obstructed by an obstacle, you can change one of the evade results to a focus result, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's standardized Lebo, and then standard Dash, a lot of the same stuff, still I5. After you gain a red token as a result of moving through or overlapping an obstacle, you can transfer that red token to a friendly ship at 0-1.
So what do you think? You fly with a mate, or it's almost a useless ability?
I don't know. It's not as good as the customized Dash ability. But the Lebo upgrade card on standard Dash is mega cool. After you repair a damage card, you can perform an action from your action bar. And then there's a lot of stuff. So like direct hit, it instructs you to the repair of the card. So that would trigger this loose stabilizer. If you like did a non-straight maneuver that repairs and you would do that, the ion the Ion one, after you execute the Ion maneuver, it repairs. You get to do an action. Although I guess you would still be considered ionized, so you can't.
No, focus.
But you could do that anyway. Anyway, but also like fuel leak instructs you to repair the card. There's a lot of things that instruct you to repair the card without.
No, Ion, you do repair the card. Yeah,
you know, you do. You repair the card, but it's still.
You could only focus, though.
Yeah, I think you still only focus. Yeah, it's got a mercenary upgrade, which is cool. After another friendly ship at 0-2 is destroyed, before it's removed, you can steal one of its green tokens. That's like neat. This feels very like I would play this in like a casual game, but it seems really a lot like. Like I don't know if at 7 points this Han is going to compete with Han at 7 points, right? This dash, you know.
I think someone will find some crew or upgrades to break the Rebel one. I just don't know what it
well,
is.
Well, oh yeah, the customized. Talk about that for a second. Customized dash is really cool. His ability is during engagement phase, you ignore the effects of obstacles you're overlapping, right? So give him trick shot, Outrider title. Right. Like, and then you're really cooking with gas here. Right. Cause if you land on, you know, your range 3, you park yourself on a gas cloud. Right. And so you get your trick shot, you get your extra dime.
How are you parking on an obstacle? What am I missing?
His customized dash's ability is different than standard dash's ability.
Oh, you're reading it.
During engagement phase, you ignore the effects of obstacles you're overlapping, right? So you can shoot off rocks. So, but what you do is, you know, you put the trick shot on them, you get the Outrider title on them. So then you get the juke effect, your range 3, you get the extra die, you're trick shotting, you get the extra die. So you're throwing 5 dice at range 3 obstructed. You're changing someone's evade back to a force. You can throw a blade of plating on there so you can just yeet yourself onto a rock and you don't give a shit.
Man, they really should have reversed it.
You do lose your action if you land on a rock, though.
Yeah, but you could probably even be coordinated in action. They should have did the opposite. Sure. Gave Scum the help and make them customize dash. Oof.
Don't worry, Chris. It's not broken at all. Here's what fits. Easy peasy. Trick shot, Kanan Jarrus, a blade of plating, Outrider title. Good luck. Have fun. Dash
so... and Binary. Okay, I think Lebo SL card is dead in the water. I mean, being I3 in this kind of meta with that, you're going to get so much that rolls up into you range 1, and you're just going to be rolling 1 defense dice, and you're not going to be able to really do anything about that. Like, I like Lebo and everything, but I think it's just going to be a waste of 6 points. With Dash being... I think Dash... customized crew or card, he's going to be able to do some cool things. I don't think the SL card's dead just yet. Being I5, he definitely... 7 points might be a little bit tricky. There's probably better things. I mean, obviously Han's better at 7 points, but I mean, speaking for Scum, like, I mean, like, I was playing around with it today, and it's like, secret missiles are really good. You know, so you get them... the dial is amazing. I mean, like, it's
right. That's, you know, that's what I was going to point out.
Right.
Like, I don't think SL Lebo is dead in the water, because this is the same price as Chopper in the Ghost, who is seeing play.
Get to the chopper.
Right. Maybe. And Lebo, it, like, the drawback of Chopper Ghost is that in order to really hit hard, you got to get up in people's faces. Right. And then once you're a big boy in people's faces, you can't go anywhere. Right. Lebo has a rad dial and wants to be range 3 on the outside. So it's like literal skirting the outside, not even like the Han orbit where you're really gunning for like range 2, range 1 with your orbit. This is like a far off orbit. You just hang out on the edge of the board and pot shot into the middle, right? But your pot shots are beefy because they're 4 die pot shots.
See, but I think when you look at it, you could be like, okay, I could easily probably get 6 points by killing this Lebo, by rolling up into him and kind of ignoring objectives for maybe, like, what's it going to take? Maybe, I don't know, 2 to 3 turns at most to kill him?
It's going to take at least 2 turns, because they've got 10 health, but they also have 2 agility, right? It takes 2 turns to burn down an arc.
But that's what I'm saying, is in range one, it's going to be like, you know, you're going to be
playing right, well,
at one dice. The and thing, they're not going to be putting out the potential, where I think with dash being high five,
yeah,
if you really get into that sticky situation, you can barrel roll out, which, I mean, anyone from 1.0 X-Wing knows what he did, where he would just, you know, barrel roll out of, you know, get into the range that he needed to. I mean, now, granted, it's a red barrel roll now and everything like that, but it's still like, if you get into a real sticky situation, I'm probably taking that red barrel roll as opposed to getting a, you know, a range one shot into me and not, you know, really kind of.
Absolutely. But Lebo, I mean, Lebo can barrel roll as well. But the thing is, like, we were talking about how good the dial is here. Lebo can run too.
Sure.
Three bank, three turn. Three bank into barrel roll, like that's a lot of distance. And if I'm setting this up and I have Lebo off to the side and you want to full commit to Lebo, it's going to leave your objectives exposed. It's going to leave your flank exposed. I feel like, and it's going to take you, I think, a little longer to fully kill Lebo than you think it is, right?
Maybe.
And I don't know. I think Lebo's got a home. I think Lebo might even have a home in Scum because the SL cards are just wholesale available in Scum. And there's not, like, you know, I mean, if you comp to, like, Mando at 6 points, like, Lebo's great, right?
Yeah, like I said, I think mostly what I'm afraid of Lebo is just being that I3. And
yes, that's a tricky spot to be in.
And that's why I'm leaning more towards Dash being like, okay, I can do a lot more at I5 and see the board at I5 and do everything I really kind of need to do. And that extra 2 points is, I think, definitely worth that one. That one extra point.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. People got to be tricky. It's not like the old dash and
no, yeah, it's not at all.
And half the reason why these Falcons are so effective is because it's a big ship that can boost, and dash can't boost.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I wish I could throw dash's abilities are kind of like whatever. I mean, I'm not worried about any of them. I like secret missiles, and I like that he's you know. And got four dice at range three. But, I mean, nothing really kind of fills that role in Scum at the moment.
Okay, but Andrew, hear me out. You're Scum, man. You're in Scum. You got Han Solo Falcon. Uh-huh. Fen Rao Fang Fighter.
Uh-huh.
Lebo. And what are you going to do with those last 2 points, my friend?
I mean, you throw an escape.
Boosk!
You throw the escape craft on there and give it to Han. No, no. I went very heavily into looking at Han and there's just too many variables for him to kind of, I think, make a splash. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's probably going to show up somewhere.
Han's going to win. Han's winning Nova. You heard it here first. Scum Han.
Scum Han. There's a lot of variables that go into Scum Han, and I'm not on board for that game. So, I like, if you joust, you know, Dash, you're probably taking a seeker missile and, you know, he's getting a double mod there and then he's probably shooting past you with that three bank and then, you know, you're probably going to have to fight with his, you know, his turret at that point. So,
with the turret too, it's like both of these, both Lebo and Dash, they can just throw four dice at you while they flee.
Right.
Which is like super good. Anyway, I had a good friend of the podcast. You may know him. Pick up one of these packs for me today. And I'm really looking forward to having that model because the model looks rad.
It's very nice.
All right. I'm going to pivot again, boys. Last segment of the show here. We have an email from a listener. And if you want to send us an email, you can send us one at yetanotherxwingpod@gmail.com. This week's email comes from Tim. Tim says, good evening, longtime listener, first time caller. Here's my question. Do you after action review post game ? He says, I do. I ask myself these three questions. What was the plan? What happened? And what went well or poorly? I usually try to keep my answer to one sentence each. I used to keep notes for every game. Now I just do it mentally. It helps me identify common mistakes and let me fix them. It really changed how we play, and I hope it helps someone else. That's from Tim. Tim, thank you for writing in. Chris, I wanted to share this with you because I thought you would be into this sort of idea, right? Because you are always...
Love it.
One of your favorite questions, Chris, has always been, what's my lose condition? right? Not even what's my win condition. Like, how do I lose this game, right? And I think this sort of strategy really ties in, like mental, like planning strategy really ties into that, because you can look at it afterwards and say, well, what happened, right? Like, when did my lose condition change? What did it become, right? You think you ever think you would be a notebook guy, Chris, at a tournament?
Not a notebook guy, but I would go over it myself and just say it out loud. You know how I fucked up.
You also have to say how you did well, though. You also have to say how you did well.
Yeah,
I think this could be a fun exercise too. Like it makes me think about games. Like, you know, we were playing at Hex a couple weeks ago, and I talked about my game with James, right? And how I did have a plan, right? And I had a plan in my head, and I was like, my plan is to like really get the Reaper to like scream across the board and try to block, and to hopefully make sure that Vader doesn't take a double modded proton torpedo. Like, that was like my plan, and that did go well, right? But then like some other stuff, you know, in other games went poorly. Like at one point I was face to face with a different Vader, and I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go too fast, because what if, you know, he does like the Talon roll and he gets the drop on me. So I went slow, but then I really should have gone fast. I shouldn't have overthought it. Right. Like, so it's like stuff like that I think about. Right. So I think it's a really good, I don't think I'm ever going to be a notebook person, but I might be like a notes on my phone kind of thing, right? Like jot down
that's what I might do, but I mean, I think I'm gonna go over it. Mm-hmm. like for me it was two key times.
Yeah.
And shout out to the person who's on the podcast, to Drew, for first talking about when I heard on when you were recording you talk about lose condition, and that was just like a huge light bulb that went off for me when you were recording on your own podcast at the time. But I think that's huge. I was playing Scott, and this is a reminder to everyone. Like, I think we all get in the habit of doing certain actions in a certain routine. And the point I'm about to make is to, in a critical time when you have to make a big decision, go through all of your options is what I'm saying. So I'm facing Scott. We're in the final round. It's chance. I think I have a 1-point lead. I move my Kylo Whisper range one. He has Bullseye into his Boba Fett, who you normally don't want to be in range one of.
Yes.
Very negative stuff.
Yeah.
Very negative stuff. So then I move my quick draw into range one of his Boba Fett as well. His Boba Fett has two shields left. So I know I need three. I guess I need to get three damage on him to get half,
yeah,
which would be 4 points. But when my Kylo moved, I was like, crap. Like, and he had the child on him, but he didn't have any tokens. So I was like, all right, I have range one Bullseye Predator, or I can barrel and maybe not lose Kylo. So to me, I was like, do I stay, or do I potentially, I'm afraid of losing 5 points, but do I stay and get the potential half points with quick draw shooting him and Kylo shooting him at range one? So I punked out. I didn't choose violence. Kylo got out the way, and then QD did some damage. And what happened was, long story short, QD, I think, had full shields. I lost my shields, lost half points. That was not a good decision. Whereas I feel like if I went through all of the options that I could have done with Kylo, I think I could have evaded there, which I didn't even think of. I could have evaded there, took maybe 4 damage, or took a beating from Boba Fett. Maybe get half on Kylo. Maybe I lose half on Kylo, which is 2 points. But I almost definitely should get half on Boba Fett, which is 4 points. And then I win by math. So that's going through the steps of what I did right. What I did wrong was I got the shot that I wanted.
going right. Boba,
but then I punked out. I went back on my plan. And that because I didn't go through all of the options, I lost that match, which would have put me into the finals match to lose against Keith.
Still, you could have come second at your own event, Chris.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson. That's a good takeaway. Andrew, you ever going to try this? Do you do anything like this for yourself ever?
I definitely go over my game and see where things went wrong. And 9 times out of 10, it's the damage deck or dice. No. that's terrible advice. I definitely do it. And I mean, I know myself, I am an aggressive player. The last store championship I went against, it was the game that I lost. It was me placing Fen right in front of Chopper. And I had the option to...
Now, this is four dice, now 5 dice attack Chopper and the ghost ship.
Right. So, I placed Fen right in front of Chopper, and I had the opportunity to not advance slam, but to burnout slam out of there. And I was like, you know what? It was kind of like, I don't think I had the option to either PS kill him, or even survive the shot. And, like I said, because I'm an aggressive player, obviously I took we're going to try to PS kill him, and, you know, it needed to be perfect, and it didn't go that way. And then, Fen ended up, you know, blowing up to a direct hit, which 100% wasn't the damage deck. That was my fault, when I should have maybe burnout slammed him. And, the takeaway I'm getting it from it is that, like, sometimes me identifying that I'm the aggressive player here and really should have
out of it.
Right. So, I mean, I could have got Fen out of there. He could have taken a different shot that might have split the damage around, and then, Fen could have got a more, favorable shot later in the game and survived or not given up 6 points when he did. So they're the things that I really kind of look at to see, like, you know, as maybe I should, change my play style a little bit or do something along those lines of seeing how, take some notes from Brett and be like, oh, I should probably just leave this interaction and not get shot at. But
to the game.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, that, they're the things that it's like, but, you know, I say that every time, and then, I'm always just like, no, I want to kill you.
What if I landed Fen right in front of this guy and got blown up?
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
hey, you did that against me the last time we played.
Oh, well, there was a big traffic jam in that one, I believe.
Yeah, that might be true. I don't remember.
So what were the 3 questions he had again that we could keep that in mind for everyone?
Yeah. Just a review. After action review, answer these 3 questions for yourself. And I think the thing he points out is keep your answers short and sweet. Mm-hmm. What was the plan? What happened and what went well or poorly, right? So, like, what did you think was going to happen? And then what actually happened? And then which of those things do you want to take away to not do next time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge.
Like, my big takeaway from my Empire, I'm sorry to interrupt, my big takeaway from my Empire mirror match at Hex was, keep bombs in mind. Bombs are so easy to forget, right?
Oh, this is so easy to forget.
And that truly, that round where I took 2 bombs on basically all my ships lost that game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was in it until that moment.
What, for me in that game, it would be, what was my plan? My plan was to kill Aphra. Mm-hmm. And then once I saw that not happening, I was proud that what I did well was I adjusted in regards to trying to see how I could get points and points fast, who's available. So I adjusted to that, even though I had to pick on a little tiny Seek and I had to try to get half on Boba. I was like, I was adjusting and still keeping up with points. And then what I did bad was what I mentioned at the end. I didn't choose violence.
That's Ken would really disapprove of that.
Yeah. And what sucks is like, after I foopard on Pax, like in the cut that 1 year eons ago, I always said in my mind after that to choose violence when in doubt, and I didn't do it. But that's all good.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Tim, once again, thank you so much for the email. Appreciate it. If you, listener, want to send us an email for us to talk about, give us some hot tips, hot advice, you send that email to yetanotherxwingpod@gmail.com. I think this is the end of, man. See you guys this weekend for Nova, right? Everybody, don't forget last week's advice. Bring your water bottle, bring some snacks. Gary tagged me today on, I don't know, some Discord and was like, I got my snacks, and he got the trail mix I like. So,
oh, nice.
Well, yeah, Gary, nice. I'm going to hit you up and steal some of your trail mix, number one. And number two, bring your own snacks and your own water bottle and bring me stickers for my water bottle. This has been yet another X-Wing podcast. Chris Daniel, thanks for joining me. Andrew Lewinsky, thanks for joining me. Get hype for PAX, folks. PAX tickets on sale now. Unplugged.paxsite.com. Get your PAX badges. The price of admission is well worth it. Plus bonus X-Wing tournaments. PAX. Chris, it's going to be real hard for you to fucking think through your decisions when your fangs outing against me and I'm staring at that clock and you got 3 more seconds to set 4 dials and you're going too straight forever. Anyway, I have been your host, Pete Lambro. Yet another X-Wing pod. Cast. We will see you next week and hopefully see some of you guys at Nova. Have a great night. Bye. Burr, burr, burr.